Dear Heavenly Father, I just come to you and I just thank you so much that we can pray, and I thank you that I can come before you, and I thank you that I can trust you to help me with this and give me the words to say. And I pray, Lord, when my words get all jumbled up and tangled up, I pray, Lord, that in the hearts and minds of these girls, Lord, that you would just straighten them out, and that your spirit would be here working, and that it wouldn't be my own words, because my words aren't anything, but it's your words and your spirit. And I pray that you would just be honored and glorified in this time, and help me not to be so scared. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me find my papers. I know I'm going to knock this off. Okay. This is my notebook, and I have so much stuff in here. Well, my testimony of starts when I was born. I was born into a Christian family, so I grew up ever since I was little, hearing about God and hearing that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and just kind of just accepted as a fact that that's just what happened and that he died for our sins, but I didn't really understand that it was my sins or anything. And then when I was, I knew that I did bad things and like, I shouldn't do that or whatever, and I get spanked or get in trouble for it. And but then when I was six, this one day, I was really bad at lying. I lied a lot when I was little. And I had told Mom a lie. I don't even remember what it was about, something during the day. And she had confronted me about it, and she knew I had told a lie, but I would not confess that I had told a lie. And so she talked to me for a while, and then I think she maybe talked to me again later in the day, and I still insisted that I had told the truth, and no, I hadn't told her a lie. And so I went to bed that night, and my oldest sister, Mary, she called me over to her bed, and she started talking to me, and like, Liz, you know that you told Mom a lie, and you know that's not right, and you know that's why, you know, that's sin, and that's why Jesus had to die for our sins, and you know that if you sin, you'll go to hell if you don't accept Jesus. And I knew she was all right and everything, and I didn't say a word to her that night, but I was praying in my heart, even though I didn't really think of it exactly as praying, because I always thought praying was you fold your hands and you bow your head and you pray out loud, is what I thought praying was, that it couldn't be something in your heart. Anyway, so I was laying there in bed. I think I was crying, but she didn't know. And I was asking God to save me, and so I didn't have to go to hell. That was the main thing, that I just didn't want to go to hell, and I knew that I was a sinner and I deserved it. And then, but I didn't say anything to her that night, and I went back to my bed and went to sleep. And the next night, she called me over to her bed again, and she's like, Liz, you know you told Mom a lie yesterday. And she told me the whole thing all over again, and I didn't say a word to her again. And I was once again praying and praying and asking God to save me, and I went back to my bed. And the third night, she called me over to her bed, and she's like, Liz, you know you told Mom a lie the other day. She's like, why won't you just ask God to forgive you for your sins and to save you? And I was like, that's what I've been doing for the past three nights. I've been asking God to save me every night. And she's like, well, the first time you asked him and truly meant it, then he did save you then. And I was like, really? She was like, yeah. And so I was so amazed, and I just remember just going back to my bed. I think I went back to my bed that night and just being so amazed that God had saved me, because I had asked him to forgive me, and he really had saved me. And then I didn't say, and Mary didn't say anything to Mom or Dad. And so then it was probably a year or two later that my sister Jemima, which I know I had told my siblings, and so then Jemima came to me a year or two later, and she was said, "Liz, I just heard Dad and Mom praying this morning in their bedroom, and they were praying that you'd get saved." And she's like, "Haven't you ever told them that you got saved?" And I was like, "Maybe I never told them. I don't know." And apparently at that point, there hadn't been a whole lot of change in my life. And so then Mom was working cleaning out our crawl space. There's this little trap door in our kitchen that goes down into the crawl space underneath the house. And so she was, I don't know, pulling canning jars or something up out of there. And so I came over there to the door and was waiting there. And Mom's head came up out of the door and she put some canning jars on the floor. And I was like, "I'm going to tell her." And I was like, "Ma." And then she just went out. She disappeared back down in the hall. I was like, "Oh, I was going to tell her." And then she came back up again with another load of jars, set them on the floor, and I was going to tell her again, and I just didn't. And so then she came back up again. I was like, the instant her head popped up above the floor, I was like, "Mom, I just wanted to tell you I got saved." She was like, "What?" And I was like, "Yeah, I just wanted to tell you that I got saved a couple of years ago," and told her about it. And she was like, "Really?" And she was started talking to me, and I don't really remember our conversation then. But then I think I wanted to get baptized then. But Dad and Mom were like, "You know, why don't you wait a couple of years and see if this is, you know, really truly a change in me." And I got baptized I think when I was like 8 or 9 or something. And then still there was not, I don't know, I still didn't understand a lot of the gospel at that point, that it was just, I trusted Jesus that I was saved and everything, but I didn't grow very much in him. And then when I was 12, I did some things that I was really regretted and realized so much more just how much I needed God for myself personally, that like before I knew that I was sinner and everything, but it wasn't as personal to me. It became so much more personal to me just how much I needed God. And that's when I really started reading my Bible then, a lot more than I had before. Like before I would read it some because I knew that's what Christians were supposed to do, that you were supposed to read your Bible. And I didn't want to find I thought I was cheating if I just read a short psalm. And so I found this one chapter in Isaiah. It's Isaiah 4. And it's like 6 verses long. So I kind of justified that I wasn't just reading a little psalm. I was reading something else. But the chapter starts out with 7 women shall take hold of one man. And this short little chapter, not really anything that applied to my life at all, but I felt like, okay, I was reading something besides a psalm. And so, which by the way, reading psalms is not the cheater thing to do, that I've started enjoying the psalms so, so much more in the past couple of years. And I'm going through psalms again right now and am so enjoying it. But yeah, and then as I got a little bit older, so I was learning more and growing more in the Lord, and I think at each, so many different points in our life, we can look back and be like, wow, I didn't know anything then. I've grown so much more since that point, and I hope and pray that in another 20 years, that I will look back at myself now and be like, wow, I knew so little about God at that point. You know, I know so much more of him and how good he is. And even though I feel like I know so much now about how good God is and everything, that it's like, he's so good, I can't hardly contain it. But I pray that in more years, I will know even more about how good God is. But as growing up, I was also a person who loved rules, and I'm sure a lot of you girls don't love rules, but I was somebody who did love rules, and I could remember, at least I thought I remembered a rule that Dad and Mom had said at some point in the past 10 years, whenever my siblings were doing something. It's like, I know Dad said we were never supposed to climb up on the freezer and jump off. And they'd be like, no, Dad never said that. And I'm like, yeah, I know he did. And I would run to Dad and be like, Dad, didn't you tell us we weren't supposed to climb on the freezer and jump off? And he'd probably be like, well, maybe I said that. Yeah, guys, don't climb on the freezer and jump off. And so I quickly got nicknamed the little Pharisee in my house because I had so many rules about everything. And I felt like if I had a rule that I could follow, then I knew where my guidelines were, and I wouldn't go outside the rules, and I would just abide by that. And I don't think that is being hypocritical about keeping rules and pharisaical about having all rules. That's not really any better than wanting to break the rules all the time because you're not wanting to keep the rules for the right reason. It's not because it's in your heart. It's because you want to get somebody else in trouble or feel good about yourself that you're keeping all of them. So, let's see. Anyway, I had a quite sheltered life growing up. I mean, not like super sheltered, but for the most part, I didn't have a lot of, you know, bad influences in my life or whatever, and I'm really thankful for that. But at some point, God, He doesn't want us just leaning on all of these props of, this is my, you know, this is the thing that props me up in my Christianity and helps me to love the Lord, or because, you know, because my family loves the Lord, and therefore it's just the easier thing to do to go along and follow the rules and love God because it's the easier thing to do than to go against it. And a lot of my life, it was easier to go along with everything than to go against it. But God does knock our props out from under us because He wants us to stand alone in Him and who He is and to know His goodness. And let's see. Now I'm all off on a bunny trail, not on my notes. let's see. Anyway, when 4 years ago, my mom passed away from cancer. She had had cancer struggled with it for about 13 years, and then she passed away in 2012. And that was a big, quite a huge thing in my life because my mom had been so important to me, as so many of us girls, our moms are so important to us. And for the first probably year or so after she passed away, like, everybody has a different way of grieving with things, and it's totally true in my family. Like, some of us kids, you know, wanted to talk about it. Some of us kids didn't feel like talking about it. For myself, my thing was that I always would just keep really busy with something, like, okay, I know Mom would want me to do this, so I'd get really busy doing this thing so that I wouldn't have to think about that she was gone. And so I got through the first year, and it wasn't, on the outside, it wasn't as hard for me as it was for some of my other siblings that struggled more in that first year on the outside. And then life kind of went on, and we were adjusting to the new normal of it and everything. And then maybe the next year, probably, that I was really having to maybe you'd say stand on my own 2 feet a lot more and make a lot more decisions for myself, because then I was the oldest girl at home because my two older sisters were married then. And so I kind of was sort of in charge of running the house, though there was three of us girls and we really shared it a lot and everything, but I did feel responsible for it. And then I didn't have somebody looking, watching over my shoulder, watching what I was doing, how I was spending my time and everything like that. And I started feeling so, I don't know, that I just didn't know how to make decisions so much, because a lot of times I could go ask Mom, you know, Mom, what do you think about this? And Dad, you know, obviously I could go and talk to Dad too, but then he was gone, started being gone a lot more during the week, and so it was just, he would be home on weekends, and, cause he got another job. And so there was a lot of time that I had to spend by myself, and a lot of time that I'm also a super people person, and so a lot of times the house was really quiet and there wasn't anybody else around the house and it was just me, and I was just like, oh, I don't know how to handle myself, don't know what I'm supposed to do and everything. And so I started, not that I was doing bad things or like watching really bad things or anything, but I just started wasting my time a whole lot more and not spending it on the best things. And I know that's one thing that I have thought of, that's like, you know, was something that I definitely struggled with. And I think we all come to a point where we have to decide what is, when I'm in charge of my time, when I'm in charge of my life, so to say, how am I going to spend my time? What am I going to choose to do? What am I going to choose to watch? What am I going to choose to listen to? What friends am I going to choose to have? And that was just a super scary time for me. And then also knowing that, kind of growing up, and everybody would be like, well, it took you a long time to grow up. And my sisters did go through a lot of their, some of my other sisters kind of, I don't know, grew up, had the same struggles that I had, but when they were younger than me. Like, here I was in my, you know, early to mid-20s having these struggles that some of my sisters went through when they were, you know, in their teens or something. And I was like, oh my word, I thought I got through life without those struggles, and now they're coming at me, and now I'm having to deal with them. So we started doing a Bible study. It's called Behold Your God in the young people's group at our church. And it was a really, really good Bible study, and learning so much more about God and who He is, and not just the kind of, I hadn't grown up with the idea that God is just this nice God that does whatever we want to and wants to make us happy, but I hadn't spent a lot of time just thinking about different attributes of God, like who God was, wasn't what I had. More of my focus had been on what can God do for me and how can He help me with my struggles and everything, which He wants to do that. And so when we were doing the Bible study, it challenged us to really ask God to show us more of who He is and more of who we are and how much we needed Him ourselves. And so I started asking God for that. And I had asked God for that at other times. But always when I had asked God at other times, it had been kind of like I was so scared for what He was going to ask me to do if I, like, 100% said that He was in control of my life, that we always think that God's going to send us to some horrible place that we don't want to go to, and this is where He's going to send us to serve Him or something. But God isn't that sort of a God that is just waiting till He gets in control of our life, and oh, I can't wait till you say that I can make all the decisions of your life. Because right now, he really does have control of our life. He holds our breath in his hands. He could just stop giving us breath. Not that he has to give us, or he does give us breath, but all he would have to do is stop giving us that breath. He wouldn't even have to say that to stop giving us breath, and we wouldn't have a single another breath in us, and we would all die. But he continues to give us that breath and is so good that he's not going to, as soon as we say, oh, you're in control of my life, then he's going to be like, oh, now I'm going to send you to this really horrible place or something. And so I started really honestly asking God to show me more of himself that I really wanted to know. And I knew that I was kind of in quite a mediocre state of, in my Christian life, not really seeking the Lord as much as I should be, that there was so much more of God that I needed to know about him. And so I was asking God to show me more of him and to take me deeper with him. And then one night I had watched a movie, and then I was getting right, I was actually staying with another family because the parents were gone and they had left me there. I was babysitting their two little kids for them while they had gone out for a couple of days. And so I'd watched a movie at their house, and then I had a bunch of laundry that I needed to fold, so I was folding the laundry, and I was really tired and everything because we had had a long day. And I was just going to go ahead and go to bed then, and then I thought, well, if I could sit here and watch this movie, then certainly I should go ahead and spend some time in God's Word, filling my mind with God's truth after I'd watched this movie. It wasn't a bad movie or anything, but I was just like, if I can do that, I certainly can spend some time in God's Word. And so I was reading through the Sermon on the Mount and just reading through that, and came to chapter 7 and verse 11. I'll start at 7. It says, ask and it shall be given unto you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? And I was thinking about that and thinking about God being so good and what could be the best thing that I could ask him for. And then earlier, at the beginning of that year, this was now in the beginning of July, the end of July. And at the beginning of that year, I was, you know, praying about what was going to be, because I'm not somebody who's super goal-oriented, and some of my sisters are, and they'll have all of their New Year's resolutions laid out, and this whole plan of, you know, what they want to be by, what they want, you know, maybe their memory work that they want to have done by this certain time of the year, and what they want to have done by the end of the year. And I'm just kind of a person who's like, well, I'm not sure what exactly I'm going to be doing. But at the beginning of the year, I knew that I wanted to go deeper with the Lord and knew that's what I needed. And so I had prayed as that my goal that year, that just by the end of the year, that I would be deeper with the Lord, that I would know more of God. And so I had kind of been praying that throughout the year. And so then I came to this verse about God giving good things to us, and I was thinking about what could be the very best thing that God could give me. And I thought about all kinds of things, thought about asking God for a husband, thought about asking God for all these different things. And then I was like, well, really, the very best thing that I could ask God for is that I could know him more and know his love more and how much he loves me and cares for me. And so I didn't think that much about it because I had prayed it before. that he would take me deeper. And so I prayed that night that he would take me deeper with him, and really, really asked him that that's what it would be. And so often when God answers our prayers, a lot of times we don't see it as the answer right away, because it looks different than what we expected it to be. And I expected, you know, that he would take me deeper with him in a nice way, that I would know more of him by maybe these good things that he would give me. That's how I'd see his love for me, or whatever it was, but that it would be in a way that I liked. And not that I would have said that if you had asked me, but that was kind of in the back of my mind. And so that night, after I had read and prayed, and I went to bed, and I was thinking about, well, I better get to sleep quick, because I knew the baby was going to be waking up soon and needing his bottle and everything. And at least all of you girls that are in my room know how much I like to go to sleep. And usually I do go to sleep super fast. I lay down, and probably within 1 or 2 minutes of laying down, I'm fast asleep. And so I laid down in bed and laid there and laid there and wondered, why in the world am I not going to sleep? And I was like, the baby's going to be waking up just a little bit for his bottle. I should go to sleep before he wakes up. And so I didn't go to sleep and didn't go to sleep. And I was thinking about all of these different things. And in that year, there had been several different people different people that we knew or kind of knew of that were really looked up to and respected, and that they had really fallen and had moral issues in their life, had all these different kinds of struggles in their life that you don't expect Christians to have, that they're not supposed to have those kind of struggles. And so I was kind of started thinking about that as I was laying there, and, you know, could I ever do something like that? And so as I laid there and couldn't get to sleep, my mind, like, started getting all worked up and everything, and going over this and thinking about all these different people struggling and praying for them and wondering if I could do something like that myself. And so that night, and I didn't go to sleep until the baby woke up. I gave him his bottle, put him back to bed, climbed back in bed, still couldn't get to sleep. And it just totally felt like Satan was just having a heyday of my mind. And I was struggling so, so much. And I got up in the morning. I ended up falling asleep at like 5 o'clock in the morning. And both of the kids ended up waking up at like 5:45 or 6 or something. And so I got up with them and went ahead and started the day. And I hadn't hardly slept at all. And I was still all upset about this. And my mind was just running circles and in a tizzy. And so that day, I struggled a lot that day, and I was struggling with things that I hadn't ever, like, really thought of as were an issue for me before. Like, I didn't know why I was struggling with them. Like, I didn't watch violent movies. I didn't read books that had violent things in them or anything like that. Like, I never thought of myself as struggling with violent things or anything. But those were the sort of things that were running through my mind. And I came home, the parents got home, and I told them just a little bit, the mom. I was like, I had a really hard time. And anyway, so I came home, and on the way home, I was struggling so much with these thoughts, and came home, and I was struggling so much, like they were so obsessive in my mind that I was like, maybe I'm going crazy. And so I wasn't wanting to tell anybody about them. And I got home, and then I was like, well, Dad got home not too long, later that evening, I think, or something. And I mentioned to him that I was really struggling with my thoughts and asked him to pray for me. So he prayed with me and asked me a little bit about, you know, what I was struggling with. And I told him a little bit, but I seemed like such horrible thoughts and everything that I didn't want to really tell him too much of it, because I was like, they're so horrible, I don't really want to say what all they are and everything. And so he prayed with me, and I went to bed, and I was so scared that I wasn't going to sleep again that night, and I fell asleep that night and woke up in the morning. I'm like, whoa, I slept all night. And then, but as soon as I woke up, the thoughts were right back again, and I just struggled and struggled. And then I went and talked to one of my sisters and told her about them and told her how much I was struggling. And I have two brothers that have had a lot of mental struggles and everything in their life. And I was just thinking, I was like, I think the exact same thing is happening to me. I think I'm losing my mind, because I was struggling so much with my thoughts, and I couldn't control them. And so I talked to her, and she was a lot of help to me. And talked to my other siblings, asked them to pray for me. Pretty soon, I think I talked to, told Our Lady's Prayer at church, asked them to pray for me, and at our young people's Bible study, asked them to pray for me, because there was, while we were doing that study, the Lord just opened up our group. There was so many things that year that different people in our group were really, really struggling with, and it was so beautiful to see everybody pulling together and praying for each other, like really praying for things that they were struggling with, instead of just kind of little surfacey things. Oh, could you pray for me about this? It was things that they were really struggling with. And so I asked all of them to pray, and they were praying for me. And this struggle went on for a couple of months that I was struggling with it. And it honestly was the hardest time that I've ever had in my life, and never want to repeat it again, but it was the most, God has brought the most beautiful things out of that part of, from that in my life, in showing me how good and how faithful He can be to me when I'm not faithful to myself, when I can't handle myself, I can't control myself, but God can. He can control me. And so often, I would just pray and just ask God, Lord, please just control me. I'm having such a hard time. And so then I started, one night too, another night when I was so upset, because usually at nighttime was when I would get more upset. And I was really, really upset, and going to bed, and the verse, I was reading my Bible, and the verse came to me in Jonah. It says, and Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and he said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. And that was just how I felt. I felt like the way my thoughts were, that they were, I felt like I was in hell with my thoughts, that they were so bad. And that God heard Jonah out of the belly of the whale, out of the fish, and when Jonah felt like he was in hell. And that encouraged me so much that God still heard me, and even when I didn't feel like he was hearing my prayer. And so I struggled a lot, and then another verse that really was Luke 22, 31. And it's when Jesus is talking to Peter, and it says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And it totally seemed like Satan was sifting me, like that he was just having a heyday of me, but that God was faithful, that he is our intercessor, and he is praying for us. And more than anybody else that wants us to be successful in our Christian walk is God and Jesus, that he wants us to be faithful, and he's the one who gives us the power to be faithful to him. And also in 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says about taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, and it was my thoughts that I was really, really struggling with. And it seemed so exhausting to take every thought captive that they just came so fast and so much that I couldn't. It seems so exhausting to be like, I've got to take every one of these thoughts captive. Like, I'm never going to do anything else in my day but just try to take these thoughts captive. And so that seemed such a huge, daunting task. And one of my other sisters, she encouraged me to, because so often I was like so scared and so paranoid during this time and everything, and she told me, because sometimes I'm like, well, I just gotta focus on God's word. This is just like, this is my life, so I have to focus on this continually. And she was like, you have to focus on other things that are other good things that you should be doing. And she encouraged me to, before that I had quilted a lot, and then I got busy with everything around the house and didn't really have time for it, and she encouraged me to start quilting again. And so I didn't really feel like how in the world is quilting gonna help me? And but I started quilting again and did make this one quilt over that year. It took me almost a year to finish it, but anyway. And one of my friends just recently asked me, she knew that I was making this during this time, and she's like, and I had it on my bed, and she's like, so every time you look at that, does it just have horrible memories for you? Because I have lots of really hard memories from that time. And I told her, you know, it really doesn't. It just shows me that God was faithful to me during that time when it was so, so hard. And so I am thankful for that. And more than anything through that time, it just showed me that God is faithful and he won't leave us and he won't forsake us no matter what we're going through. Even if we've been raised in a really good home and haven't had lots of bad things happen to us, that he's still faithful to us even when we haven't experienced. Because sometimes I was like, oh, I haven't had any really bad things happen to me. Like, other people have such hard things, and then that was such a turning point in my life. That, like, God is going to show us how much we need him no matter what sort of an environment we've grown up in, no matter what's going on in our life. He's going to show us how much we need him, that we can't do life on ourselves. Or if we have had really hard things happen to us, then he will show us that he's faithful in that, because he's promised that he's going to be faithful. And, wow, I wasn't sure if I was going to take 5 minutes. But yeah, God has done so much in my life, and I am so, so thankful for his faithfulness, that he will never leave us, never forsake us. I have so many other verses and everything, but just, if you don't remember anything else, just to remember that God is faithful and he won't ever leave his children or forsake his children. And when I was really struggling of what I was going to do with my life, I was kind of like, what am I going to do with my life? You know, I'm not getting married. What am I supposed to do? And that was quite a big thing in my mind. You know, was I going to go to nursing school? Because I kind of really wanted to do that, and so many things. But just trusting that God's ways that He has for us, that they are perfect and they are good, and He is trustworthy no matter what. No matter what's going on, that we can trust Him, and He is faithful. And if you do a study on the verses of just loving kindness, look up the words loving kindness, and that there are so many verses, and it just totally blows you away to see how many God's loving kindness towards us. And yeah, it's just so amazing. That was one thing that I would do sometimes when my mind was so busy and everything. I was like, okay, I've got to focus on, you know, God's word and or doing something to keep my mind busy on good things. And I'd be like, I'm going to pick a word and I'm going to look up all the verses on that and write out the verses about this. So I have several of those studies that I did in this book. And those, just fixing your mind on good things, like the verse of whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, of good report, of virtue and praise, think on these things. That's, if we're wondering, you know, is this a good thing that I'm thinking about or something? Does it meet those standards? Is it that? Or do we need to focus on something that does meet that standard? And so, yeah, I don't know, kind of jumbled up, but that's some of what God's been doing in my life, and He's so good and so faithful. So, thank you so much. Oh, I did want to read you one other little thing in here, too. This was one song that I found. This was in our Behold Your God study book. And it's a song, a hymn that that John Newton wrote. And it says, and it totally fit exactly what I was going through and struggling with. It says, I ask the Lord that I might grow in faith and love and every grace, might more of His salvation know and seek more earnestly His face. 'Twas He who taught me thus to pray, and He, I trust, has answered prayer. But it was not, but it has been in such a way as almost drove me to despair. I hope that in some favored hour, at once He'd answer my request, and by His love's constraining power, subdue my sins and give me rest. Instead of this, He made me feel the hidden evils of my heart, and let the angry powers of hell assault my soul in every part. Lord, why is this? I trembling cried. Wilt Thou pursue Thy worm to death? 'Tis in this way, the Lord replied, I answer prayer for grace and faith. These inward trials I employ, from self and pride to set thee free, and break thy schemes of earthly joy, that thou mayst seek thine all in me. And that was, I read that in my study book, I don't know, really soon after I first started struggling. And I was just, because then I was wondering, why in the world am I, you know, struggling? I hadn't really at that point remembered that I'd been praying and asking God to take me deeper with Him. And I wasn't thinking that that's what it was going to look like, Him taking me deeper with Him. But then I read that poem and I was like, well, maybe God can use this for something good in my life. Maybe through this He's going to take me deeper, because I certainly wasn't feeling like I was knowing more of God at that point, but I did come to know so much more of God during that. And so now I praise Him for that time that I thought was, that He could never bring anything good out of that.